This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Imam al-Shafi'i's journey then took him to Egypt. And it's very important to note that the fiqh of Imam al-Shafi'i, it went through two main phases during his lifetime. He traveled to Baghdad in Iraq, and he authored books there which demonstrated his opinions on fiqh and usul matters. And this was later known as al-madhhab al-qadim, the old school of thought. Then he traveled to Egypt, and he met with new scholars there, and he accessed new parts of knowledge. And so again, he authored books which demonstrated his opinions on fiqh and usul matters, which was later known as al-madhhab al-jadid, the new school of thought, where he adjusts some of his previous positions on matters, but he affirmed most of the old ones. Now, having said this, this is not to say that the new school of thought that he brought together in Egypt means that he has abrogated the previous one from Iraq. No, it's just that the Shafi'i jurists will usually consider that the official position of the Shafi'i school lies in the newer opinions, which culminated in his books, Al-Risala and Al-Umm. Moving on from this discussion, let us go on to speak about the praise which the scholars of Islam heaped on Imam al-Shafi'i. His teacher, Muslim ibn Khalid al-Zanji, the Mufti of Mecca, he gave him ijazah, a permission, a license to issue fatwa verdicts when he was just 15 years of age. And he said to him, Afti ya Aba Abdullah, faqad a'na laka an tufti, issue verdicts, O father of Abdullah, issue verdicts because the time has come for you to do so. Allahu Akbar. And Abu Thawr, another leading scholar and a contemporary, he said, Ma ra'aytu mithla Shafi'i, wa la ra'a mithla nafsihi. He said, I have never in my life seen a person like a Shafi'i, nor has a Shafi'i ever seen a person like himself. And Muhammad ibn Abd al-Hakam, he said that, I have never seen a person like a Shafi'i. And then he explains, he says that the students of hadith would come to him and they would ask him about the most intricate matters of hadith. And he would guide them to the secrets of knowledge which they had never heard of before. These are the students of hadith themselves. He would teach them things that they had no idea of before. So they would leave and they would be amazed. He said, then the students of fiqh, both the students who were in agreement with Imam al-Shafi'i and in disagreement with him, they would come into his gatherings and they would leave in a state of absolute submission. And similarly, the students of language would present Imam al-Shafi'i with poetry and he would decode it for them and help them understand it. He was a one-man university, subhanAllah. In fact, the levels of productivity in his life, it made it so clear that he was a man whom Allah had blessed with respect to his health and his mind and his knowledge and his time. Yunus ibn Abd al-A'la, he said that كَانَ الشَّافِعِيُّ يَضَعُ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ غَدْوَةٍ إِلَى الظُّهُرِ. Al-Shafi'i used to complete the authoring of a whole book between the early morning hours and dhuhr time, noon. Noon being the time where a lot of people, unfortunately, nowadays wake up. By that time, al-Shafi'i had finished authoring a book. Ya Allah, may Allah Almighty awaken us. The biggest amounts of praise, however, heaped on Imam al-Shafi'i were perhaps by the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who studied directly beneath al-Shafi'i for many years. Imam Ahmad never once forgot al-Shafi'i's influence over him. And Imam Ahmad would say, مَا مَسَّ أَحَدٌ مِحْبَرَةً وَلَا قَلَمًا إِلَّا وَلِلشَّافِعِيِّ فِي عُنُقِهِ مِنَّهِ. There isn't anyone who has touched a pen or a paper except that al-Shafi'i somehow has virtue over him for it. And when Imam Ahmad's son said to his father, Father, what type of person was al-Shafi'i? I hear you making so much dua for him. And Imam Ahmad, he said, Ya Bunay, O my son, كان الشافعي كالشمس للدنيا وكالعافية للبدن فانظر هل لهذين من فانظر هل لهذين من خلف أو عوض. He said, my son al-Shafi'i, Al-Shafi'i was like the sun for the world, and like well-being, health for the body. Can there be a replacement for either? Allahu Akbar. In fact, Imam Ahmad would make dua for Al-Shafi'i in his salah for around 40 consecutive years. And Imam Ahmad would cite the narration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّلُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Where the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Almighty will bring about for this Muslim ummah at the end of each 100 years, a person who will renew the religion for it, revive it. So Ahmad would say, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the revivalist at the first 100 years, and Ash-Shafi'i was the revivalist at the end of the second. Allahu Akbar. What do we know about the worship of Imam Ash-Shafi'i? The Imam was a devout worshipper of Allah. In fact, Al-Rabi'a, one of the most famous of his students, he said that Ash-Shafi'i would complete the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover a staggering 60 times in the month of Ramadan. 60 times in the month of Ramadan. And as Al-Muzani, he said, all of his recitation at night would be during Salah. La ilaha illallah. And Husayn ibn Ali Al-Karabisi, he said that I spent more than one night with Al-Shafi'i. And he would pray for around a third of the night. And I never saw him recite more than 50 verses. That's it, 50 verses, reciting them carefully. But if he did recite extra, it would be 100 verses of the Qur'an. And whenever he would recite an ayah about Allah's mercy, he would beg Allah Almighty for his mercy and for the believers. And whenever he would come across an ayah from the Qur'an that speaks of punishment, he would implore Allah for protection for himself and for the believers. Al-Rabi'a, another one of his students, he said that Al-Shafi'i had divided his night into three parts. The first was for writing. The second third was for salah, for prayer. And the third was for sleep. And Al-Shafi'i, he also said that I have not eaten to my full for the last 16 years of my life, with the exception to just one time that I ate to my full. So I put my finger in my mouth and I vomited. He said, this is because being full causes laziness, it hardens the heart, limits your sharpness, it brings sleepiness, and it weakens your worship. Ya Allah, amazing. What do we know of Imam Shafi'i's consciousness of Allah, his taqwa? This is a topic which continues to reappear, subhanAllah, in the lives of the magnificent. Because they could never have reached such levels of productivity that we speak about and marvel over and achievement without Allah's divine assistance. And this divine assistance could never have been achieved without high levels of worship and consciousness of Allah. See how it's all linked? It's not just they were amazing people who worked hard. They put an effort, so Allah helped them. Sufyan ibn Uyayna narrated once a prophetic narration, speaking about heart softeners and the fear and love and hope in Allah. Al-Shafi'i heard it and he passed out. They looked at his motionless body and they said, he has died. And Sufyan, he said, in mata, faqad mata afdalu ahli zamanihi. If he has died, then the greatest human being of his era has just died. Alhamdulillah, he had not died. Imam al-Shafi'i would also keep a walking stick with him in his hand. And he was not a weak man. He was strong, but he'd keep a walking stick. They said, why do you do that? He said, لِأَذْكُرُ أَنِّي مُسَافِرٌ, so that I always remember that I am in this world a traveler. I'm a traveler in this world. Don't get too attached. And despite all what he had achieved in his life, Imam al-Shafi'i remained as one of the most humble of human beings. And Imam al-Shafi'i would say, أَرْفَعُ النَّاسِ قَدْرًا مَنْ لَا يَرَى قَدْرَهُ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ فَضْلًا مَنْ لَا يَرَى فَضْلَهُ. The highest person in status is he who believes he has none. And the most virtuous of all people is he who believes that he has none. Allahu Akbar. Self-admiration is something Al-Shafi'i wanted to treat in himself. And should this illness of self-admiration be treated in the life of a person, then this person has automatically treated tens upon tens of side effects that can potentially show up because of self-admiration. I mean, think about it. One of the main reasons why somebody will struggle to accept advice, number one, or will refuse to collaborate with others on a shared Muslim project, or refuses to accept an apology, or refuses to offer an apology, or insists on revenge, or aspires for more than revenge when someone does wrong to him, or refuses to walk away from a heated debate that's clearly not getting anywhere, or is unable to submit to an opinion that is better than his, or number nine, backstabs people, or keeps dropping negative comments about other Muslims, or number 10 is ruthless and reckless when about supposedly refuting an innovation or any type of sin. One of the main reasons why we behave in this way boils down to this secret illness that we are talking about now, that hides so discreetly in the hearts of many. The illness of al-ujbu, self-admiration. Now I ask a question here. What is it that causes people to feel self-impressed? This illness that Al-Shafi'i wanted to remove from his life, and he had every reason to feel self-impressed, but he didn't. What is it that causes people to feel self-impressed? Assess it, and you will realize we have no grounds. I mean, maybe it's due to your knowledge. If it's due to your knowledge, then remember that there came a time in your life, childhood, when you didn't know. And if you live long enough, again, you will end up not knowing. And also, have you not considered just how much you do not know and will never know? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And of knowledge, O mankind, you have only been given a little. Maybe it's not the knowledge that's causing this ujub, this self-impressed feeling. Maybe it's your authority. Maybe it's your standing within the community. Maybe it's your position of influence. You're an influencer that's causing you to feel self-impressed. Well, if that's the case, ask yourself the question. If you are on the verge of dying from thirst, would you not give up all of those positions for a single cup of water? The answer is yes. Then you got to say this to yourself. How worthless is authority, which in reality is not even worth a cup of water? Maybe it's not your authority. Maybe it's your money, it's your savings, your cars that's causing you self-admiration. Well, realize that if that is the case, that is one of the worst causes of pride. Because some of the vilest human beings whom we know today who have ever walked on the face of the earth, they were richer than you and me. So how can you accept this as a criteria of greatness for yourself? Money. And then on top of that, you got to remember that the eventual outcome of money is one of two. It's either a voluntary distribution through charity, or it is a forceful distribution through death. It has to leave you. So on what basis can wealth give birth to self-admiration if it has to bid you farewell sooner or later? Maybe it's your strength. Is that the one? Maybe it's your physique that's causing you self-admiration. Well, if that's the one, think about the fact that animals, including donkeys and bulls and cows, are far stronger than you will ever be and can carry more weights than you can ever carry. So how can we, as upright, intelligent human beings, feel self-impressed because of a quality that is found in greater quantities in unintelligent creatures? Does it make sense? Finally, if perhaps it's your picturesque beauty and your spellbinding appearance it's causing you self-admiration, then please think for a moment how you looked when you emerged from the womb of your mother. How did you look? And think again how you shall look not too long after you die. How shall you look? Well, the scientists, they say that 24 to 72 hours after death, your internal organs, they begin to decompose. 3 to 5 days afterwards, the body starts to bloat and blood-containing foam starts leaking from the mouth and the nose. And then 8 to 10 days into your death, the body turns into green and then it turns red and then blood is decomposing and the organs in the abdomen are now accumulating gas. And then after the passage of several weeks, the nails, the teeth, they begin to fall out of your face. And then the passage of 1 month after your death, the body starts to liquefy. We have no grounds to feel self-impressed, but to glorify Allah in humility. And despite Imam al-Shafi'i possessing all of the means for self-admiration, his concern was always the raising of the banner of Islam, not his own brand, his own name, his own page. In fact, al-Shafi'i would say in his own words, إِذَا خِفْتَ عَلَىٰ عَمَلِكَ الْعُجْبِ فَاذْكُرْ رِضَى مَنْ تَطْلُبْ وَفِي أَيِّ نَعِيمٍ تَرْغَبْ وَفِي أَيِّ عِقَابٍ تَرْهَبْ. He said, if you fear that your good deeds will be affected by self-admiration, just do this. Al-Shafi'i said, remember the pleasure of whom it is whom you are seeking, meaning Allah. And remember which reward you are aspiring for, meaning paradise. And remember which punishment it is that you fear, meaning the hellfire. Al-Shafi'i then concludes, فَمَنْ فَكَّرَ فِي ذَلِكَ صَغْرَ عِنْدَهُ عَمَلُهُ. Whoever thinks of these matters, his deeds will all of a sudden seem a lot more insignificant. Allahu Akbar. In fact, al-Shafi'i was never heard raising his voice during a debate, and his intention was never to crush his opponent in the debate. This is to be compared, by the way, to some of the most trivial conversations that take place between friends and family, where egos and self-admiration and arrogance is just so admissible in their words, in their reactions, in their facial expressions, in their objections, in their interruptions. Not Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i, he once said this, and this is one of my favorite statements attributed to the Imam. He said, مَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا قَطُّ إِلَّا أَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ يُوَفَّقْ وَيُسَدَّدْ وَيُعَانْ وَيَكُنْ لَهُ رِعَايَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحِفْظٌ. In every debate of mine, my wish was always that Allah Almighty helps my opponent and guides him, and that Allah would preserve him and guard him. And then he said, وَمَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا إِلَّا وَلَمْ أُبَالِي بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِي أَوْ لِسَانِهِ. And in all of my debates, I have never cared about whether the truth becomes apparent through me or through him. I don't care. As long as the truth becomes apparent. وَمَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ يُخْطِئِ. And I have never, in all of my debates, debated with someone and wanted my adversary to make a mistake. That never happened. وَمَا نَظَرْتُ أَحَدًا عَلَى الْغَلَبَةِ إِنَّمَا عَلَى النَّصِيحَةِ. And never did I debate anyone for the purpose of overcoming him. The only intention was advice. La ilaha illallah. High, high levels, brothers and sisters. May Allah allow us to ascend them. And in yet another statement of Imam al-Shafi'i, which shows his pure mindset, his humbleness, and how he was a person whom subhanallah had simply taken himself out of the equation. Just wants Allah to be glorified, for goodness sake, not himself. Al-Shafi'i would say, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ النَّاسَ تَعَلَّمُوا هَذَا الْعِلْمَ وَلَا يُنْسَبُ إِلَيَّ شَيْءٌ مِّنْهُ أَبَدًا فَأُجَرُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَحْمَدُونِي. I wish that people could have learned this knowledge without any of it being attributed to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward me, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward me for it without the need of people's praise. I want to share with you a few of the statements of Imam al-Shafi'i. The first statement, Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ النَّافِلَةِ. The pursuit of knowledge is better than voluntary salah. Yeah, this needs to be qualified, this statement. But generally speaking, he said, the pursuit of knowledge, it's better, more virtuous than voluntary salah. And al-Shafi'i would also say, this is another statement of his, whoever comes to a gathering of knowledge without a pen and paper is like the one who goes to use a mill without wheat. Subhanallah. And Imam al-Shafi'i, he would say in a profound statement, he said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ عَظُمَتْ قِيمَتُهُ. Whoever learns the Qur'an, his worth will increase. وَمَنْ نَظَرَ فِي الْفِقْهِ نَبُلَ مِقْدَارُهُ. And whoever studies fiqh, halal and haram, his status increases. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّمَ اللُّغَةَ رَقَّ طَبْعُهُ. And whoever studies the Arabic language, his demeanor would begin to soften. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْحِسَابَ جَزُلَ رَأْيُهُ. And whoever studies mathematics, his opinions become precise. وَمَنْ كَتَبَ الْحَدِيثَ قَوِيَتْ حُجَّتُهُ. And whoever writes hadith, his arguments become strong. And then he concludes, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَصُنْ نَفْسَهُ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ عِلْمُهُ. And whoever does not guard himself from sins, then his knowledge will be of absolutely no use to him. Another one of Imam al-Shafi'i's statements, and this is a couplet of poetry that is famously attributed to him, guiding the student of knowledge as per what he needs to achieve to become a student of knowledge. He said, أخي لن تنال العلم إلا بستة سأنبيك عن تفصيلها ببياني. My brother, you will never gain knowledge in the absence of 6 tools. I shall inform you of them in detail. And then he said, ذكاء وحرص واجتهاد وبلغة وصحبة أستاذي وطول زماني. Number 1, sharpness, eagerness, sacrifice, and means of wealth, and the companionship of a scholar, and a large length of time. What do we know about the death of Imam al-Shafi'i? After his second visit to Iraq, al-Shafi'i decided to make his way to Egypt in the year 199 after the Hijrah. They said to him, why are you going to Egypt and leaving us? He said to them, هناك الممات. Egypt will be the place of my dying. SubhanAllah, it's as if Allah taught him something. He arrived at Egypt and he began to suffer from hemorrhoids. And the bleeding it didn't stop. In fact, at times he would be riding and blood would be flowing from his feet and from his toes. But he stayed active. He remained active, however, because he knew that there's only one chance to plant the seeds of good deeds and hasanat. But the hemorrhaging fatigued him till he found himself finally breathing his last. And as he was going through the throes of death, one of his students, Al-Muzani, entered upon al-Shafi'i and he said to him, O Imam, how are you feeling? And Imam al-Shafi'i, he said to him, أَصْبَحْتُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا رَاحِلًا. It looks like I will be departing from the world today. وَلِلْإِخْوَانِ مُفَارِقًا. And bidding farewell to my friends. وَلِرَبِّي مُلَاقِيًا. And finally meeting my Lord. وَلَا أَدْرِي أَتَصِيرُ رُوحِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَأُهَنِّيهَا أَمْ إِلَى النَّارِ فَأُعَزِّيهَا. And I do not know whether my soul will be taken to paradise so that I should congratulate it, or whether my soul will be driven to hell so that I should mourn it. And then al-Shafi'i broke down into heavy weeping. And then he began to recite his famous couplets of poetry, imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, وَلَمَّا قَسَى قَلْبِي وَضَاقَتْ مَذَاهِبِي جَعَلْتُ رَجَائِي دُونَ عَفْوِكَ سُلَّمَا تَعَظَمَنِي ذَنْبِي فَلَمَّا قَرَنْتُهُ بِعَفْوِكَ رَبِّي كَانَ عَفْوُكَ أَعْظَمَا. Where he says that my heart has become hardened and my paths have become so narrow. And during that time, I took my hope in your pardon, O Allah, as my opening and escape. He said, my sins have seemed so great, but when I compared them to your forgiveness, O Allah, I found that your forgiveness to be far greater than them. SubhanAllah, it may come across that these words belong to a person who had left a life of sins and addictions, time wasting, delaying of salah, procrastination, play. That wasn't the case. These words and their likes were coming from people who led lives of piety and worship and teaching and repentance. But what made them so fearful and so conscious was that they realized that during those dying moments, this is when it could all go wrong. Because what is the situation of a person who fasts a whole day, but then nibbles on something minutes before sunset? His fast is null and void. And similarly, what is the situation of a person who prays a long prayer, salah, and then in the end remembers that he was not actually in a state of wudu before giving salam? His prayer is what? Null and void. And similarly, there may be a person who leads a long life of outward righteousness, outward worship, but during those closing moments, everything could change and that hidden defect shows up and it prevents him from dying as a Muslim. We have no guarantees on how our ending shall be upon Islam or other than Islam. But we do have indications, and I want to share with you one of those indications. mentioned by Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. He said, حافظوا على الإسلام في حال صحتكم وسلامتكم لتموتوا عليه. He said, take care of your duties as Muslims during your times of health and well-being. If you have any desire to die upon Islam, then Imam Ibn Kathir, he said, فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمَ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, because Allah, the most generous, has once again displayed to us His infinite generosity, and Allah has decreed that whoever lives upon something will die upon that thing, and whoever dies upon something will be resurrected upon the same thing. That is your indication. Finally, on the last night of the month of Rajab, in the year 204 after the Hijrah in Egypt, Imam al-Shafi'i's soul would return back to its creator at the age of 54 years old. Al-Rabi' Imam al-Shafi'i's student, he said, I saw al-Shafi'i in a dream after he died. I said to him, Father of Abdullah, مَا صَنَعَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. How did Allah receive you? What happened when you met Allah? Al-Shafi'i said, أَجْلَسَنِي عَلَى كُرْسِيٍ مِّن ذَهَبْ وَنَثَرَ عَلَيَّ اللُّؤْلُؤْ الرَّطْبِ. Allah sat me on a throne of gold and He poured over me the purest of pearls. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the great Imam al-Shafi'i. May he have mercy upon us and allow us and our progenies to follow upon his legacy and to live a life of vision setting and high aspirations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.